Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotional worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all grapple with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Donna. Well, it is the week of love, because February 14th and Valentine's Day is upon us. And I am a huge proponent of love and the importance of love in our life and making time for love. And I don't care if it's a commercialized holiday. I think it's important that we all get a reminder that we need to nurture the love that we experience in our lives, whether it's with their significant other, however you define your significant other, but the love you have for your children and your friends and your extended family, to make a date to do that. And so I like to honor this week by talking about love and some of the ways that it impacts and nourishes our lives. Maybe talk about how we can get in the mood for love, because love itself is, you know, can grow. We can grow love, but we can also see love wither. And you see that when people say things like, we just fell out of love. I just didn't have the feelings anymore. And that always makes me sad, because we rarely just fall out of love because something ends. We generally fall out of love because we've stopped putting energy and focus and intention into that relationship or that experience, whatever that might be. Because love isn't stagnant. It's this fluid, energetic feeling that moves through us, you know, kind of through that whole heart center of who we are. And so we have to make time to actually pay attention to and water and nurture and fertilize love in our lives. And it's unfortunate, because we don't really have a cultural narrative that's about the importance of nurturing love. One, because it doesn't cost any money, really. It doesn't have to cost money to nurture love and to spend time with those you love and to kind of grow those feelings and experiences. And so we don't promote things that don't cost money. We generally talk about those things that either make us money or cost us money. And love is one of those things that can exist outside of the whole commercial part of our cultural story, which is ironic because Valentine's Day has been turned into a commercialized experience, which then makes a lot of people want to reject it because it's commercialized, which is unfortunate, because again, it's the act of igniting those love sparks inside of us that in many ways can make life actually worth living. And I'm reminded of this because every quarter I assign to my students Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And if you haven't read that book, I highly recommend it. One of the great sells for the book with my students is that years ago, Jimmy Fallon injured himself. And he was off the air for, I think, 6 weeks or something. And he came back and he was holding Viktor Frankl's book. And he said, I now know what I'm doing, what my meaning and purpose is. And I feel like a new person. And so just that one kind of blessing of the book made it so my students got more excited. I said, and once I tell that story, like, oh, okay, Jimmy Fallon says it's cool. But the essence of Frankl's book is the love story between he and his wife, and that the time he spent in the concentration camp during World War II, his ability to survive it was predicated on this love he had for his wife and his desire, his motivation, his commitment to surviving this experience so he could be reunited with his wife at the end of it. And although that's the beginning of the book, he takes this experience of having that meaning, which he, you know, says is the reason that he survived that horrible experience. And then he created what they call logotherapy, which is a therapy that's built around the idea that all of us need to have some sense of meaning, a why, a purpose for what we're doing, so that we can overcome all the difficulties that we may experience through our day-to-day. And so I love that Frankl's whole experience in the psychological world was built around this sense of why he lived, which was for the love and the nurturing of his wife. And he also tells another beautiful story in the book about love and that power of our loving relationships. Because after he got out of the concentration camp and he started his private practice, one of the clients that he had was a man who was suffering deeply from the loss of his wife. He was in just incredible amount of grief and didn't want to go on anymore and felt that everything was over for him. And Frankl said, "Did you love you? You clearly loved your wife, yes?" And he said, "Yes, more than anything. That was everything that I lived for." And he said, "Well, given the way you're feeling right now, would you rather be suffering yourself this loss, or would you rather have your wife still be alive and suffering this grief and loss?" And the man instantly said, "I would never want anyone to experience this. So I guess I can take this suffering out of the love for my wife." I get choked up telling the story every time. And so I don't understand really why we are so cynical about love in our society, why people want to just kind of blow it off or demean the importance of deeply committed relationships or give up on the idea of deeply committed relationships and believe that we can find that deeper meaning in the work that we do, which work can be deeply satisfying. Frankl even talks about in Man's Search for Meaning that meaningful work is one of the cornerstones, but it's just one of them. It can't stand alone. It can't sustain us. Then he talks about the will of meaning when it comes to experiences, you know, in nature, in beauty, and being able to take those in. And that's a component of it. And then the third piece is that the attitude we have about our lives and how we feel about getting up every day. And we get to choose that part. We get to choose our attitude about why we're alive. And that's the piece where love and commitment and tender care to others is so important. So that's the first thing that's on my mind today, is just this whole sense of the expansiveness of love, if we allow it to be expansive. And in order for us to allow love to be expansive, we have to be able to tolerate the pain of love lost or the pain of love not found. Because if we don't allow ourselves to take the chance to be vulnerable, to maybe lose something that we deeply love or desire, and then we never get to experience, we don't have a chance to experience the heights of truly being committed to and tied to another person on a deeply meaningful level. That's one piece. The other piece might go along with it, but I've always had this great fascination with those late night call-in love lines, like Delilah and Art LeBeau. And I just love listening to the people that will call in and want to send out, you know, a story to their loved one, or play a song that's so important to their relationship, try to heal a relationship, try to apologize, you know, through a disc jockey. So all of my, you know, years working in radio, I've always wanted to have like that opportunity to kind of I don't know what the word would be, but kind of host this opportunity for love to flourish over the air. And back in the way day when I started in radio in the 1990s, the whole love line thing was kind of waning a bit, but I did do a late night show. And I had the opportunity to take requests from people that would call in and tell why this song was important to them. And I've always wanted to bring that back. So I thought, well, part of today's love story could be inviting people to call in and send out a love line message to someone they cared about. Because we all know who's listening to the show or who's listening, you know, at any time, or maybe podcast the show later. And so what a great opportunity to call in and send them a love message over the air, declaring your love to all people who are listening. I find that deeply romantic. So I thought that's what we'll do, is we'll open up the lines for that today to let people do that. So think about it. Or maybe you have a love lost story that you want to share, and, you know, talk to me. just talk to me. Because I'm happy to listen to that as well, because sometimes sharing our love loss or our great love gains makes them even more alive. That expansiveness grows in us when we're able to talk about those things that give us joy and those things that bring us pain. So we're going to open the lines for any way people want to express those love stories, either about their own or to send out love to someone else. I don't think we'll be able to play requests necessarily because we don't have the studio access to play the songs, but I'd love to know what is the song you would dedicate to the person you love, and then you can maybe play it for them later. Because again, if we start to get cynical and we just think that love is corny and we don't have time for it, or our lives are too busy, or I don't want to look vulnerable, then we're missing out on one of the greatest experiences that our life can bring us, which is the full focus and witnessing of another person. So that's where we're going today. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and you can be part of our conversation by giving us a call at 805-781-3875. You can get a hold of me after the show by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can check out our website and find me there, thereluctanttherapist.com, and you can listen to podcasts wherever it is you get your podcasts. And if you call and make a dedication or love request to someone, then you can send them the link to the podcast and they'll be able to hear it. Just go wherever it is you find your podcasts and look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and you can listen at your convenience. So as always, I look forward to seeing where the hour takes us. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue the conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Like sweet morning dew, I took one look at you, and it was plain to see.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we are celebrating love in all of its many different facets today. And I'm curious about, again, that late night love. Have you ever called in to a show and made a request? Did you ever make those phone calls? Because I remember in high school, oh my goodness, we would listen to KSAN up in the Bay Area and make those phone call dedications and hoping that the person that we, you know, had the big crush on would be listening, and then other people in school would hear it and they would know. And it was just so powerful. And of course, if you've been around at all for the last 35 years, you've heard, you know, Delilah After Dark and her show. She's actually the most listened to woman in radio. She has over 8 million listeners. She's been doing this show for 35 years, 25 years specifically as Delilah After Dark. And her whole, you know, demeanor on the air is just kind of this come in and tell me your story of woe or love and I'll pass that on for you. And it was interesting reading kind of her bio and her history that for a lot of people, those who are incarcerated and they couldn't talk to their loved ones, that became a real avenue for them to be able to make connections to each other, to send out and to dedicate songs. And I just think that the whole idea of expressing our loves through song and poetry as well is such a deep and personal way of connecting intimately. It's almost like a sensual experience choosing the song. I mean, not only is the calling up and, you know, dedicating a song, but it's like, you know, making a mixtape for someone And how powerful that would be. Or remember holding up the boombox outside of the house. Oh my goodness, and say anything. Like those romantic gestures just are universal. And people who've never seen that movie, if you mention the gesture of holding a boombox over your head, people will just, yes, that I've had that. I've wanted that experience. Or, you know, writing out the lyrics to a song. I mean, that was also like a big thing to find the meaningful song and write those lyrics out and send them to, you know, the person that you, again, were interested in. I find all of that just like really powerful ways of connecting and creating intimacy in relationships. So I'm curious to know, is there someone you want to send a shout out, a love message to right here on the air? Our number is 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. It's Elizabeth Barrett during the day and not Delilah after dark. So this is your chance. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, there's so many personal shout outs I want to do, but I'm holding back. But those of you who know that the songs I'm choosing today are specially chosen for you. So there you go. The other piece of the Love Week is, again, the nourishment of love and how important having the energy to actually love someone else is so important, because it takes time. You can't love someone passively. I mean, I guess you can, but really active love means that you're thinking about them. What are things that they enjoy? What are things you want to share? What are the things you want to talk about? It's one of the huge downsides, really, of texting, the modern day way of interacting. Texting and emailing have taken a lot of the romance out of relationships, because I'm always amazed by how many of my young clients, my students, talk about having arguments or long discussions back and forth over text with each other. Then texting is inherently very dry. Even if you're phenomenal at emojis, like my mother is, the emojis themselves cannot make up for that nonverbal message that's sent when you're in the presence of another person. And so texting has taken a lot of the romance out of love. And it's a way that people have built up this barrier too, almost a barrier between their heart and others, right? Protecting their heart from being hurt, because there's a way of creating distance if you just send a text to someone, whether it's breaking up with them. It's a terribly mean thing to do. But also to try to monitor fights or arguments or conversations over text. I think that that's a phenomenon that hurts relationships in the long run. And maybe it's one of the things leading to how challenging it is for young people to maintain and sustain relationships, because they're not utilizing communication methods that actually support and build communication in really profound ways. There's something about sitting down and writing something to someone, like a card or a letter, having that box of love letters can sustain us throughout a lifetime. So if you're looking for ways to kind of shake things up or to be more expansive or to be more active in your loving and not passive, because I would say that text messaging is passive love, because it's protecting you from being vulnerable, from having to say the words in person or from having to write something down by hand. And emailing as well, you know, is nice as it is and convenient to send an email quickly, there's something much more intimate about taking the time to hand write something. And the neural pathways that are connected and fire when we actually hand write things, draw things, create things, actually release those endorphins and those dopamine feelings that we have when we're with the person. So just in the act of making a card for someone, releases those endorphins and dopamine and great feelings we have for the person while we're creating the card or writing the letter. But then when the person receives it and they open it, it releases that dopamine and serotonin in them as well. And so this creation of cards and letters and handwriting things has an eternal benefit to it, as opposed to texting and emails that get deleted or just, you know, erased at the moment. They might feel good in the actual moment of getting an I love you text, but there's no longevity to the feelings that we have inside. So that's point number two, when you're thinking of how you can express your love actively throughout this week, leading up to Valentine's Day or all year, is write some notes. Even sticky notes left on a mirror can be really romantic and really fun and charge up the relationship. Especially if you've been a little lackadaisical in your intimacy or getting close, getting in the mood to be with each other. Maybe you're tired at night after work, or you have kids and you feel like you can't make time or don't have time. Start the practice of wooing each other early in the day with a note on the table. Hey, I look forward to seeing you tonight. Or a note in the lunchbox. Hey, come home tonight with a little extra energy. Don't eat too much spaghetti at lunch. Or whatever that note is that you want to send so that people know that there's love in the air. And then there are other ways that we can help get in the mood for love in our relationships and our life, and that is all around mood food. Our number is 805-781-3875. If you have a shout out, a love message that you'd like to share, again, it's Elizabeth in the daytime, not Delilah at night, but you have a chance to express your love or your love story to someone. 805-781-3875, and you're on the air. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, this is your moment. Who would you like to share your love with?
I'd share my love with you, Elizabeth. I have a poem to read.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. This is my husband.
Ready?
The floor is yours.
How do I love thee? Mm-hmm. Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. That's it.
That's beautiful. Are you crying?
No, I'm just reading a poem to you. Right. Sending my love.
Thank you. And thank you for calling in and kind of kicking things off today. I appreciate that a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I did get a little choked up.
I thought so. Well, I appreciate you and I love you back.
I love you too. Have a great show.
Thank you. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and our number is 805-781-3875. If you'd like to be part of the conversation. So get in the mood food. What does that look like? Now I'm a little distracted, but I have to find my way back, Donna. All right.
That was so sweet. Oh my goodness. No wonder you're a little flustered.
I am. I think I'm super blushy right now.
You are. It's okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So if we're trying to encourage and ignite the love in our relationships, food also plays a big role in it because we're tactile beings. And so we write that love note and we say, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Or we write this love card or we recite a poem to our loved one. All of that initiates the release of those love chemicals, those love hormones in our body, like dopamine and serotonin. And so we start to feel that flush in our face. It kind of excites us to the person. Again, we have to fuel the feelings of loves in our life. Love doesn't just sit there on the mantle waiting to be taken down. It needs to be nourished like sourdough starter. You have to feed it to see it grow and bubble over. And so if you're thinking about ways to kind of ignite the feelings through food, well, oysters, right? We've always heard about oysters, but I didn't know about oysters, why they were so powerful. One, they're apparently, I mean, they are very sensuous to eat because they're kind of this, you know, globby thing that smells like the ocean when you open up and the shell and, you know, you're kind of use your hands to eat. And there's something about finger foods that is really sensual. But also oysters are full of zinc, which is a really important mineral to help build protein in the body. And protein gives us the strength to love and to be loved. So there's oysters. There's also caviar, which is rich in vitamins and minerals, omega-3 for circulation and immunity, which again, good for our love relationships, and also B12 to help with our nervous system and our blood cells. And there's something about caviar that is effervescent and crunchy that is tactilely sensuous for people to ingest. And then, of course, there's chocolate. And chocolate is kind of the heart of romance. Everyone has their favorite types of chocolate, whatever it's milk chocolate or dark chocolate. They all have some sort of benefit to them. And they contain, chocolate contains phenylethylamine, which I think I'm saying correctly, PEA, they're also called, love hormones. But it's a stimulant that boosts your mood and releases those endorphins. So chocolate is a wonderful thing to ingest when we want to build that love in our relationships. And then there's strawberries that also contain PEA, those love minerals, love nutrients that are released when we eat them. And again, the sensuousness about finger foods keeps coming up. That's something about touching food, feeding someone else, feeling in our hands. And you can see that in little children when they first start feeding themselves. They love food like they love everything. And that tactileness of touching our loved one and touching our food and all of those releases of hormones in our body that fuel us and nourish us and make our skin glow are so important. 805-781-3875 is our number. And Sandra, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Sandra, and I wanted to dedicate a song to my husband, Zachary.
Aww.
He's a very sweet, kind, powerful soul, and I have a song that I jokingly dance around the house and sing to him. It's called Life is Better with You with Michael Franti. And he always gives me a big eye roll when I sing and dance around the house, but it's true.
Oh, I love that song. And it is fabulous that you sing and dance it around the house room as well. So to Zachary, your wife Sandra is sending you love through Life is Better with You. And maybe I'll task my intern to find that song for us because it is one of my favorites as well. Anything else you want to share about your love?
Just that I feel like I'm married to one of the best humans on earth. Feel really lucky.
Sandra, thank you so much. Happy Valentine's Day to you both.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. A little love dedication. So you've been sitting there, Donna, listening to this. Is there some love dedication, some love message you want to send out?
There absolutely is. To my biggest fan all my life, who loves me better than anyone has ever loved me, and that's my father. Mm. He's absolutely the best. He's the standard of mate that I'm looking for, and he's spoiled me to the point where I'm just hopeless.
What's his name?
His name is Donald Cheek.
Hello, Donald. Lots of love from your daughter, Donna.
Yes, I'm his only, and I'm the youngest.
Ah, there you go. So do you have a special Valentine's ritual or tradition that you share with family or friends?
Well, I do, actually. A lot of times I'll have a party at my home for single women that don't have someone in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So like
Valentine's.
Yes. I was just getting ready to say that. Mm-hmm. And because especially during the week, because a lot of times during the week, things don't happen in the middle of the week. And so I like to have a gathering of something for them during the middle of the week. I think this year it's on Friday.
Yes,
so
it is.
I won't
no
be,
excuse.
Exactly. So I won't be doing anything this year, but I definitely do that. And I always get flowers from my dad and candy and stuff.
Yes. Well, yeah. And you kind of blow it off a little bit, but it is that power of the expression of love that really helps to build it and grow it. Because again, as I said earlier, love is not stagnant. It's not, you know, a trophy that we stick on the mantle and it sits there. It is like sourdough starter, that it has a life that needs to be nurtured and tended to and fed. And we tend to get busy because we don't in culture talk a lot about the importance of nurturing love relationships. And I always find it interesting as well that around this time of year, we get more stories about those who don't have partners or don't have love or don't have a significant other. And so there's almost this pressure on people who do have a meaningful, significant other that they've dedicated their life to. There's almost this feeling of, well, I'm not going to talk about it or express it because I don't want other people to feel bad. And so then by default, we just hear stories of how unimportant it is to have, you know, a significant other, or how it isn't that important because we have ourselves, or we have, you know, our dog, or we have all these other things. And yes, that is true. But at the same time, if we don't celebrate love, if we don't hold it to some level of esteem, then we all, as a society, start to diminish the value and the importance of that, because it is like finding a pearl. It's like finding a treasure, and then you need to nurture it and polish it and adore it and place it somewhere that you care for it. And again, we just don't, we push that to the side of Hallmark movies, right? We look at the corniness of really loving someone and dedicating our life to them as being kind of cute or passe or dangerous. Like, oh, if I devote myself to someone, then I might lose my sense of self. Or, oh, if I devote myself to someone and they leave me, then I'll just be crushed. Well, it's like, yes, if you devote yourself to someone and that relationship ends or the person dies, you will be crushed, because that is how much you loved and put yourself into that relationship. But at the same time, you may love for a long, 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 long time and have the benefits of that.
What is the, who has that saying, it's better to love and have lost than to have never loved, loved at all? Mm-hmm. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And again, our number is 805-781-3875. Maybe you want to send a love message to your significant other, just like Sandra did for Zachary, or my husband Chris called in for me. I'm feeling a little spoiled because this is your opportunity. Share the love. See how exciting it is to get on the air and say something. Because again, I know how scary it is to call in to the station. I did it when I was young. We'd call in and dedicate songs. But that is another kind of show of your love for the other person, that you have the courage to call in and dedicate or send out that love. We're going to take a quick break and come back and continue with this conversation and your calls right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Think about it. There must be down in the heart and in the stars above. Without it, life is wasted time. Look inside your heart, I'll look inside of mine. Things look so bad everywhere in this old world. What's fair? We walk blind and we try to see, falling behind in what could be. Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Where's this?
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I adore this version of the song Higher Love. That's Lily Windwood, daughter of Steve Windwood, and the two of them are singing a duet, father-daughter. It's just a beautiful, beautiful song. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Our number is 805-781-3875. Earlier, I talked about Viktor Frankl and his book, Man's Search for Meaning, and what a powerful story it is about his experience in the concentration camps during World War II and how he was able to survive because he was able to put his energy into the love he had for his wife and feeling like he needed to be strong for the other people that were in the camp. And so by having that meaning, that will to meaning, it gave him a reason to continue on no matter how horrible it is, or no matter how horrible the experience was. And part of after this experience, he created what's called logotherapy. And logotherapy, you know, and the most basic is, you know, finding our why. And Frankl would, in the book, and when he would speak, would quote Nietzsche's line, "He who has a why to live can bear almost any how." He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. And so he took this experience and created logotherapy, which basically was the tasking for human beings to find a meaning in their life, a way to live that helps them reach their highest values and beliefs. And there are three components to it. There's our attitude, our experiences, and our creative ventures. And those three pieces create like the whole life experience. And so you talk about each of us needs to have some sort of creative thing that we're doing, whether it's in our work or in writing a book or in, you know, our day-to-day deeds that we do for other people. He talked how important, talks about how important it is to be of service to other people. He talked about the attitude that we choose each day, whether or not to love someone else or to feel good about our experiences. And then he talked about the other piece of experiential values. And this is what I find so powerful when it comes to being with another person. Viktor Frankl talked about that when a human being experiences another human being in their own uniqueness, and they can revel in the ways that the person they are experiencing is completely irreplicable in the cosmos, one of a kind, that this uniqueness that they are reveling in gets a hold of the person that is loving the other. And they see in the other person not just the uniqueness, but the essence of the person and the potential of the person, the beloved. And this promotes the beloved to then attain and work towards that potential, thereby both parties, the one who loves the uniqueness and the beloved, and the beloved themselves, can achieve this actualization in fulfilling something of concrete meaning between them. I think it's beautifully said, but basically it means when we truly love someone, we see them not just for who they are in front of us, but the uniqueness of their soul and their spirit. And that uniqueness also contains their potential for who they can be and what they can experience in life. And when someone witnesses us and experiences us and believes in us in such a profound way, it can elevate our desires and abilities to reach our own potential. And so there's this dance between the loved and the beloved that we inspire each other to reach our own potentials. And when someone witnesses us experiencing our potential or experiencing our life, it makes our life that more rich and fulfilling. I find that incredibly powerful. Our number is 805-781-3875. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. Shout outs to our loved ones. I would say that part of the experience of loving someone is being able to love them when they bug you. Being able to love them even when you don't like being in their presence. Like, you wonder why you might still be there. But then, as Frankl said, there's something deeper that is calling us to the other person, that essence of who they are that draws us in, that just the witnessing their presence is so powerful for us that we keep being drawn back to them. But that doesn't mean that there aren't times when we don't like the way someone's behaving, or we don't agree with their stance on something, or we don't really want to be around them. And too often relationships end because people think, oh, I didn't agree with that, or I don't like that shirt, or I don't like, you know, the TV that you're watching. These kind of what we call in the biz kind of deal breakers, that many relationships are so fragile today because people aren't really vesting themselves in creating this intimacy that's really creates vulnerability, that many relationships never really reach the depth of being connected to someone in a way that even if you go through a rough patch, it never occurs to you that this person still is not your one. 805-781-3875 is our number. Donna, was there something you're passing on to me?
phone number?
Not yet.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, then we'll go back to getting in the mood food. So we talked about chocolate. We talked about caviar. We talked about oysters. I love barbecue oysters, by the way, honey, if you're coming up with a menu for Friday. just saying. But I also mentioned that mood food includes lobster, which stays in that category of any food that we use with our hands, that sensuousness of kind of taking it apart and then dipping it in something delicious and then putting it in our mouth. Again, that excites all of the senses that then create that excitement in our body, that tingliness that makes us want to be close to and intimate with others. This is for my son-in-law, because he will fully appreciate this as getting the mood food. Wagyu beef. Of all the meats and beef products, specifically Wagyu beef, for the way that it's treated, I guess. It has this tenderness to it and this richness of the flavor that is supposed to be really good for lifting the mood. So lift the mood food if you're looking for that. Anything that's shareable, the good old standby. Have you had a fondue lately?
I love cheese fondue. Yes. Beef fondue,
chocolate fondue. Yes. And when we got married almost 40 years ago, we got not one, but three fondue pots from people. So 1985, that was the thing, was fondue pots. Where'd it go? I wish I hadn't gotten rid of my fondue pots, because that's also just that act of eating together and dipping and sharing. And then finally, kind of fruit in general is a very sensuous food. And you know, if you really want to, again, a lot of our sexual desire is created in what we're thinking about. We're thinking about the person, we're thinking about the activity, but there's also that visual stimulation that's really powerful. And if you've ever cut fruit in half and looked at the inside of fruit, it's incredibly sensuous. So slice some fruit and see what comes up for you. 805-781-3875. And Steve, are you there? Nope. Is that wrong?
I think they might have hung up.
Is this the line where Steve is? Wait, he's calling back. This is, who's here? I'm just getting a lot of, I'll try again. All right. Steven, is that you? My late night with Delilah is failing me right now. Steven, you're on the air. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Yay. We connected. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just was listening to your show, and wanted to give a shout out to my wonderful bride of 38 years. We've been together 39, met her 4th of July in Detroit, Michigan.
Aww.
In 1986, and got married on the 4th of July a year later. And just the most wonderful thing that's ever happened.
What's the secret to the love?
That's funny. I love it when people ask that question. Because I give presentations and motivational presentations in certain facilities. And when I mention we've been together 39 years, someone will shout that out. And I'll say, don't go to bed mad.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And so that's been one of them.
And do you have traditions around, like, are you a Valentine's Day couple? Do you have some things that you look forward to? Are you a love expresser?
I am more than her. I always do something special. Early years, we used to always do something a little special, but we've almost got, you know, 4 decades together. And, you know, I'll think of something. I'll tell you one of my best things I did.
Okay.
It was about 10 years ago. And she had, I moved the whole family from Michigan to Ventura 20 years ago.
That's a giant move.
And but she started coaching at UC Santa Barbara. And so we moved up to Goleta. And I was looking through the paper and saw this sweetheart helicopter ride.
Uh-huh.
Where you had some champagne and you did a helicopter ride, you know, it was a sunset helicopter ride, and her dad he would come out from Michigan to stay with us from like Thanksgiving to March, you know, because the winters were pretty bad and yeah. he was getting older. And I'd be on the road, and we have a horse, and every Sunday she'd want to go, and we go, you know, do special things with our horse. Well, this particular Sunday, I had that. I always, his name's Eugene. I called him Gino. I said, Gino, I said, you're going to have to, you know, throw a block for me, you know, because you know, I'm going to have this special event going. And then when I scheduled this special event in the helicopter, the people said, you know, we can fit three in the helicopter. Is there anyone else you'd like to go? And I said, yeah.
So who is the third?
Her dad.
Oh, that was really nice. All right, so and, you did the giant helicopter romance. How do you top that then?
Well, that's true, but I just tried to do something different and sensual and every year.
I love that. Do you want to share your wife's name so it goes out over the air?
What was the question again?
Do you want to share your wife's name so it can be love from you to her?
Absolutely. Her okay. name's Anne.
So lots of love to Anne from Stephen right here. Thank you, Stephen. I hope you come up with a great idea. I'll try to throw something out to you before the show's over.
But I do agree with you about the fruit. Uh-huh. And if you cut into it,
yep.
you can see the sensuality.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I suggest. If you really want to do some get-in-the-mood food, get an array of fruits and cut them in half and lay them on a plate, and you see just the power and beauty of the feminine in all of those fruits, kind of sets the whole spirit of the afternoon, and then make them dipping size, too.
See, absolutely.
If we were late night, we'd get more deeply into it, Stephen. But thank you. Thanks for your call. Have a great day.
I agree with you. Yep, you
too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Our number is 805-781-3875. And Summer, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello. I'm just calling to share a story that might... some people might like the idea.
Okay. A love story, I take it?
Okay, I had a dog. This is like in the 1990s. Dog, his name was Highlight. He was the light of my life. Anyway, so a few months ago, I said to myself, because I live alone, I said to myself, if you could have anybody living with you now, who would that be? And I said, my dog. And so I got his dog tag from off of his collar, which I still have, and I put it on a chain around my neck. So it's dog tag around my neck and my dad's photograph. So if ever I feel kind of stressed, I put my hand on my heart, on my dog, and my dad.
Oh, you and Donna share that love for your dads as well.
Yeah, they were talking about dogs on the program before you, and it's like... yeah, my dog.
Aw. Well, Summer, happy Valentine's Day to you, and I hope you have some nice memories that you can recall.
I do. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and our number is 805-781-3875 if you'd like to share some love with someone that you care deeply about. What do you think? You know, when I started to put together the idea for the show, I'm like, what do I want to talk about this week? Because every year I like to do something devoted to love. And every year it gets a little, usually people who are more cynical call in, and I don't get the calls from people who really are like love-centered people. And I'm curious as to know why they don't call in and why we tend to only want to talk about things in more of the cynical way, that maybe it's not that important. Because more often than not, I'll hear from my friends who've been married for a really long time that, oh, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day. And my parents are also the same way. We don't celebrate Valentine's Day because we celebrate love every day. And I would say, no, you don't. Because it's different. You might celebrate love every day, I don't know, because we bring coffee into the room or we share the newspaper, right? Those are little acts of love. But those are almost like the basics, the bare minimums. That's like watering your fern. fern. That's like the bare minimum. I'm going to water my fern every day and just remind you, hey, I love you. I brought you, you know, a cup of coffee. Hey, I love you. I, you know, made your favorite food. Or then those are all, again, beautiful ways to sustain it. But there's something about the fertilizer that's incredibly important, because that enhances the experience of being loved. That's what gives it kind of that effervescence or that light that kind of shines around, that makes it really special. Because people can get seduced by shiny objects. I mean, that's how love affairs happen. That's how, you know, people start to miss or think about those lost loves, those lost experiences that they have. Because even though we're watering our plant every week and we're kind of keeping it alive, we seek that sense of novelty. Human beings are driven by this sense of wanting novelty and awe. It's what keeps us kind of inspired, keeps us going. And no matter how great something is, all of us at some point start to kind of get immune to it. We developed this kind of sense of immunity towards something that was actually so special. It's why even if we buy the car that we always dreamed of, or the house we always dreamed of, or, you know, got something that we always wanted to have, the amount of time that we love that item where it still gives us a sense of our newness usually fades pretty quickly. And then we find ourselves on the hunt or the prowl for something else that's new. And love, relationship, intimate partnerships can kind of go that way as well. It's why we see a lot of talk about polyamorous relationships or open marriages or people wanting to swing or to add more to their life. Like, yes, I understand the drive to that, and people have different sex drives and different interests. But a lot of times what's driving all of that is the novelty and the newness and the being able to kind of spark that sense in ourselves that there is something to get excited about. Because it gets more and more difficult to get excited with a partner you've been with for 40, 45 years, because you know everything about each other, and there's nothing really sexy about, you know, the day-to-days of life when you're kind of coming in your nightgown and, you know, walking through the house and cleaning things up. That can feel unsexy very quickly. And so it behooves us then to find a way to find that novelty and awe within the relationship that we have, instead of the easier way out, which is I'll find the novelty and awe in something outside of my life. But the novelty and awe inside the marriage actually takes more effort. So a couple of things that you could do is, one, Wednesday night is the full moon. It's the snow full moon. And there's something incredibly powerful about the moon. We've talked about it before, that there is a connection between the cycles of the moon and the cycles of the feminine, that 28-day cycle. And so that ovulation period and that 28 bleed for the feminine are connected to each other. The moon is so powerful that it controls the tides as they come in and out. So you know that if there's enough power in the moon to impact the tides of the ocean, that it's also impacting us as human beings. And again, that cyclical connection that women have to the moon. But there's also the salinity of the oceans and the salinity of a woman who's carrying a child, or those who can birth carrying a child, that salinity are the same. So the power of the ocean connected to the moon, connected to the feminine, there's a lot to it. And you might notice that the day before a full moon, the day of the full moon, the day after the full moon, that you feel this really strong pull. Maybe you stay up late, you have a lot of energy. A lot of people say they're super productive around the full moon. If you work at an ER, it's the craziest time at a hospital, because that's when they see a lot of people coming in and strange accidents happen. So we know that energetic pull is there. So how do we harness that for our relationships? So for Valentine's Day, or Love Week as we'll call it, do something off book. Instead of waiting until Friday, grab your person. I think we're going to have a lot of stormy weather, which is going to make it challenging, because if we don't have the moon bearing down on us, but the energy of the moon is still there, to create some sort of kind of moon ritual, to harness that energy that you feel inside. Have some hot chocolate, really freshly done dark hot chocolate, and maybe even have some strawberries, and create kind of a picnic. And if it's raining, sit in your car or sit in a tent or do something that you're kind of partially outdoors under an umbrella. And allow yourself to kind of bask in that kind of moon energy. Play moon dance songs and see if that ignites that sense of romance in us. Because again, that'd be something novel and new and different, something that you might never have done before. And if by chance it would not be raining, nothing's more powerful than getting, do I dare say it, Donna?
I think you should. For Valentine's Day.
Okay, it's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Be naked under the moonlight and let that kind of, we have sunbathing, which is powerful, but the rays of the moon are also powerful. So we can moon bathe and skinny dip also, but don't let the Pismo Rangers or park people know that I said this, but a nice skinny dip in the salinity of the ocean under the full moon naked. If you wanted to drive something novel into your life, something new, something you giggle about with your partner, because only the two of you know, that would be a great unexpected. And start the evening again with some Wagyu beef, because that apparently is very sexy as well, along with some oysters that are also very sexy. But that would be my kind of recipe for igniting some newness into our relationships, and then something fabulous that you could talk about for years to come. So those are my ideas. I think I've come to the end of my feelings, but not the end of my love. So do you have a love shout out that you'd like to share, Isabel, my wonderful intern? Nope. No love. That's really sad. Now, you're a college student. There's somebody out there.
I'm actually going through a breakup at the moment. So any advice for that?
Oh, man. Well, definitely chocolate and strawberries, because it ignites those same love hormones that we get and we feel when we're with someone that we love. So for those of you who might be experiencing the sad side of love, which is a breakup, you need to kind of bring up those same feelings of dopamine and serotonin that are released when we see our beloved. So massage, get touched, right, appropriately, and massage and strawberries and chocolate and going for a walk and also doing things that are different. You know, don't walk the same walk you went to as a couple. Try to find a different, again, that novelty and newness are really important in helping us to reset our nervous system and to find a new homeostasis. So the way that we need to have newness and awe in our relationships to keep it exciting, to keep us laughing with each other, to keep us feeling like, oh, I can't believe we got away with that. We need to do that when we go through a breakup, is we have to reset our own, you know, homeostasis to our self. And so we need to find newness and awe, things that excite us, so that we don't completely, you know, get lost inside the loss of that old relationship.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Isabel.
I agree. And if anyone's experiencing that kind of pain or loss, or if you're grieving someone in your life right now, I think it's also important to imply everything you've talked about today to yourself as well in your relationship with yourself.
Yes. We love the self-loving. All right. Well, this has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We've been talking about love and those love messages. Shout out to my beautiful husband, Maynard Downs, Austin, Texas, 1981. You know what I'm talking about. If you'd like to be part of the conversation now, you can send me an email to Elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can find me on Facebook or Instagram. Leave a message there. Listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. And as always, I appreciate you tuning in, supporting our community, and being a part of Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Y'all want to get into it? Keep your head up. Keep your eyes wide open. Come on, brother, sister,
go ahead and get it.
'Cause there's a party coming.
Ain't no need,
come on. Ain't no need to dress up, nah. Just bring your best loving.
Sing. What you gonna do?
Come on and step up.
This is KCBX HD1 San Luis Obispo, KMBX HD1 San Ardo, streaming at kcbx.org. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at KCBX FM. Local support comes from Apropos Women's Clothing Boutique, a family-owned and operated destination for fashionistas, nestled in the heart of downtown SLO. Apropos features unique clothing, jewelry, and gifts. Learn more at shopapropos.com. While PG&E advances through the regulatory process to keep Diablo Canyon Power Plant operating through 2030, the utility is looking to fill positions on the decommissioning engagement panel. The application period ends March 4th. You can learn more at pg&e.com/engagement panel. The time now is 3 o'clock, and it's time for Fresh Air on listener-supported Public Radio KCBX.